glorify and praise the name of the Lord. Amen. People talk about eternity and what does eternity mean and how can you measure eternity? Well, I'm not smart enough to measure eternity, but I do know what I'm going to be doing for an eternity. I'm going to be praising Him. Amen. Amen. You better get your praise ready, because when we get over there, we're going to praise Him for an eternity. And on and on and on and on. Never tired of praising the Lord. God bless you this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. John in the 20th chapter. Amen. We want to begin with verse number 26 this morning from the reading of the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 20, beginning with verse 26. And we may read down through verse number 29. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. The Bible says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Everybody say that with me. Then came Jesus. Well, that'll preach right there, won't it? When it all seemed like all hope was gone, then came Jesus. When you didn't have anyone else to turn to, then came Jesus. The doors being shut. Put that in your mind this morning. And stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Brother Chris, take us to the Lord in prayer, asking God's anointing upon his messenger this morning. Yes. Amen. Turn, shake somebody's hand, tell them Jesus loves you. Amen. Jesus loves you. Praise God. Aren't you glad Jesus loves you? Amen. I don't want to ever hear you say again, nobody loves me. Amen. If nobody else loves you, Jesus loves you. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful scripture. Amen. What a powerful scripture. Love reading about Jesus and how that he showed himself to his disciples. Let's go back 8 days if we can. 8 days before this transpired. 8 days before Jesus stood in the midst of the disciples. And the Bible tells us in the preceding verses that Jesus had already appeared to most of the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. I thought about, of all the disciples that wasn't there, the doubter wasn't there. The one who needed to see the Lord was absent. The one who couldn't believe unless he touched his hands and unless he touched his side just happened not to be there when Jesus appeared and showed himself to the other disciples. But isn't Jesus precious? Said, isn't Jesus a wonderful God? Isn't he great? Amen. A savior of second chances, second opportunities. I read from that and I thought, you know, Lord, I'm glad that you showed up again, because I can stand here and tell you today, the first time I felt the convicting power of God, I didn't move. Not proud of the fact, I just confess, and I didn't move. Amen. But I'm so glad that he let me feel that power again. So glad that I heard the message again. I'm so glad that I accepted the fact that I needed Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God moved upon me and I got up out of my seat and I made my way down to an altar of repentance and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus, because I didn't do it the first time. Thomas wasn't a part of this first meeting, but Jesus gave him a second chance. And I want to take that scripture this morning and I want to bring the message entitled Through Closed Doors. Through Closed Doors. Now, let's think about that for a moment, because that doesn't seem possible. Our mind can't wrap around the fact of walking through closed doors. Mr. Webster says closed means shut, not giving access. Has ever been frustrated to find that you got to the store 5 minutes too late? Come on. And the doors are shut. And I don't care all the wishing and the hoping, and you're not getting through those doors because they've been shut and been locked. And I begin to think about this, and I begin to think, why were the doors shut? The Bible tells us because of fear of the Jews. And I begin to think spiritually, why do we close doors? Why do we not give access to the Spirit of God? Many times it's fear and doubt. Doubt on the part of Thomas, fear on the part of all the disciples, fear of what might happen to them, which happened also to Jesus. Although they stood by him, although they walked with him, it was a time of fear. It was a time of panic. It was a time of trying to find a safe haven. And the place that they found a safe haven, or what they thought, was behind closed doors. And I begin to think about the spirits, the adversaries that work against children of God today. Many, many times, Brother Rowdy, we seek solace. We seek a place where we can feel safe and where we can feel secure. And many, many times that is in our mind, and we close our mind to certain things, and we withdraw ourselves, and we go into almost like a hiding place because of fear, because of doubt. I know people today that once circulated and once moved in the areas of society, and now won't hardly get out of their home because somewhere along the line fear or something has gripped them, and they won't get out and they won't partake and they won't be a part of anything. And I begin to think, Lord, don't ever let that happen to the church. Don't ever let that happen to born again believers. Let me tell you something, folks. He that is within us. Come on, I said he that is within us. The comforter not only means someone that will just pat you on the back, but the comforter has given us help. The comforter has given us power. The comforter has given us endurance. The comforter has equipped us with strength, amen, more than what the adversary can bring against us. How many knows that we're on the winning side? How many knows that we have got power over the demons because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has put within us? But yet the church seemingly doesn't act like that. With all of that power and with all of that might, many, many times we find ourselves behind closed doors. Not necessarily the closed doors here that are talking about on the physical building. But you know what I'm talking about. When we wrap that spiritual door and that comforter, which is not the Holy Ghost, that comforter is that blanket of insecurity. And we wrap it around ourselves, and we think that if we can withdraw far enough, amen, that we won't be bothered. Let me tell you something. I told the leaders of Elevate last night. My heart went out to them. They're young. They're ministers. They're just starting out. And you know, somewhere along the line, I think we get a misconception that when we get into the ministry, everything going to be rosy. Amen. How many knows for every rosebud there's a stem full of thorns? Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil lusts to attack the ministry. The devil lusts to attack the church. And he won't leave you out either. He lusts to attack you. And I went up and I put my arms around him and I said, the reason that the adversary is attacking you is because you're being successful for the Lord. If you wasn't being successful for the Lord, he wouldn't care. Amen? So it's almost a badge of honor when we find that the adversary is coming against us. He's attacking us. He's trying to trip us up. Not because, amen, he's just kind of going through the phone book and picking us out. It's because you're on
the right track. It's because you put Jesus Christ first in your life. It's because you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because you are a child of God, an heir and a joint heir to the kingdom of God. And if you can't realize that, Satan has realized that, and he wants to sift you and he wants to pull you back. But hallelujah, I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't leave us alone. Even in our most private, when we go into our secret place, the Lord can appear. Hallelujah. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. I remember a time of fear and doubt had gripped my body and gripped my soul. And I looked around, and isn't it amazing when you get in that frame of mind, you find yourself all alone. Many, many times it's in the middle of the night. Many, many times it's in your living room when nobody else is around. God forbid, but I've heard people say, even in the congregation, there's times they feel all alone. Amen. That's the spirit of the demon. Amen. Look around you. Amen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of the same body. But I found myself sitting in a little straight back chair in Eggleston Hospital in the waiting room. We had just left Villarica Hospital. My wife was still at Villarica Hospital. Our son was born, and he had all of these problems. And they had rushed him from Villarica to Eggleston Hospital in what they called Angel 1. They had an Angel 1 and an Angel 2 out of Grady Hospital. Those big old ambulances was equipped, they told me, with everything that you would find in a modern emergency room of any hospital. They had mobile on those rooms, Angel 1 and 2. And they'd taken him over there, and we had followed them, and they had taken him. Once you get there, you're just kind of pushed by the side. They take him, and they began to work with him, which rightfully so. He was fighting for his life. They wanted to do with him. And I was sitting in a straight back chair down at the end of a long hall. I believe that was the longest hall I'd ever seen in my life. Isn't it amazing how we can exaggerate and we can magnify the things that come against us and in our mind? And I looked down that hall, and I could hear a baby crying. And I don't know if it was Kevin or not, because I couldn't see. But in my mind, it was Kevin crying out. And I felt hopeless. Felt like there was nothing I could do but just sit there and pray. And I will not mislead you in one bit. I felt the fear and doubt completely encompass me. And it was in a time of the early morning when there was nobody else in that little waiting room. I can see the drink machine now. That was the only light that I could see as I was sitting there, because, you know, when visiting hours were over, sometimes they'll dim the lights. And I was sitting there, and I felt so alone. I felt so powerless. I felt, Lord, if there's just anything that I can do, I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for my wife. I'm praying that the Lord will give me strength. And, you know, and listen, I was not unsaved. I had been living for Jesus a number of years. And I knew what it was to have faith. I knew what it was to experience victory. I'd been the recipient of victory. I had seen victory. I'd seen revivals where crutches were cast aside. I saw revival where a man came in a wheelchair and left pushing his wheelchair. I've seen the mighty power of God move. I saw the power of God move on a lady one night. She came up out of the middle of the congregation. She made her way to the front. She told the evangelist, I can't breathe. I'm smothering. And you could see the paleness on her face, but prayer made. Amen. And God healed her that very instant. I'd seen all of those things. But can I tell you, at this point in my life, I couldn't remember those things. The only thing I could remember to do was shut myself up behind closed doors and pray for the mercy of God. Amen. I'd like to tell you that the doctors came out and gave me good news. I'd like to tell you that they sent the nurse down and said, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. I didn't hear from the doctor. I didn't hear from the nurse. Time went on. I was wondering what in the world's going on. Surely they'll tell me something. I just wanted to see somebody in a white coat or a cap or gown come back and give me just a little bit of hope. But I didn't see any of that, because I had shut myself in a spiritual closed doors. But as I began to pray, something transpired. transformed. And the only thing that transformed, the drink machine was still there. The light was still on. The hall was still dark. Then thou couldn't hear a sound from nobody. But then came Jesus. I said, then came Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. There was a feeling came over me. And let me tell you, I didn't hear the audible voice. I didn't hear the thunder roll. I didn't see the lightning strike. But he told me in that still small voice, I've got it under control. I'm taking care of your son. Even though you can't see it, even though it's out of your sight, don't worry, because I am here. Hallelujah. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. It is amazing what happens when Jesus comes into the room. It is amazing what happens when Jesus steps in the middle of your situation. Hallelujah. Just when you thought nobody cared, just when you thought you were all alone, amen, Jesus puts that strong arm around you and says, I got it under control, son. Don't you worry. I'm taking care of it. Hallelujah. That same Jesus who had been crucified, that same Jesus who had been beaten with an inch of his life, as the disciples saw the blood flow from his body. I've told many, many times, the artist does not do justice to the portrait that he painted of Christ. He puts a few little drops of blood in the hands, a few little drops of blood on the feet, maybe a trickle that runs down. I can only imagine the immense amount of blood that poured from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he was already beaten, as I already took that the heavy load of that cross and bore that thing up the hill. And I imagine it had eaten into his shoulder. And when they nailed him to the cross, they didn't use these little 16-penny nails. They drove it with spikes. And I imagine they probably hit arteries and veins and blood began to spurt. And he was probably covered in blood. Amen. That precious blood. Glory to God that he shed for you and me. Somebody said, I can't stand to look at it. I can look at it all day long. It's not gory, it's glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Because every drop of blood he shed was for you and for me. Amen. Then came Jesus. We were on our way to hell. We were on our way forever torment. But then came Jesus. Glory to God. He'll show up. Hallelujah. And he'll take our burdens. Praise God. And as he walked into this room or came into this room, now the Bible says that the disciples were behind shut doors, closed doors, not giving access. Brother Chris, I can imagine the fear, amen, that gripped their heart. And I would imagine there was probably a certain knock on the door, amen, that was a sign that was all right to open the door. Because the last thing they wanted to open the door to Roman soldiers. The last thing they wanted to do was open the door to the Jewish magistrates who sold Christ out, and they was afraid he'd do the same thing to them. Maybe there was a signal, a certain amount of knocking, that they would open the door. I don't know. But I believe those that disciples behind that door were very fearful for their life. Fearful. This time, Thomas was with them. How many knows that Jesus has a reason for everything that he does? Amen. He didn't have to come back. He didn't have to show himself again to the disciples because they had already said they believed. But he came back for Thomas, the old doubter. Well, we give Thomas a hard time. Man, old doubter. We don't ever call him just the doubter. It's the old doubter. Amen. You know who Thomas represents? Me and you. Me and you. Amen. I'd love to see the hands if somebody said, I have never doubted God in my life. I can't raise my hand. Because there's times that I'm looking and I'm not seeing anything happen. Old devil jumps up there. Where's your God now? He don't care about you. You're nothing. Oh, we're everything to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That doubt comes up.
And we wrestle with that. We want to believe. You know how we want to believe? Lord, give me a sign. If you give me a sign, I believe. Blessed are they that believe who have never seen. Amen. And we're giving Thomas a hard time. And we just like him. We just like him. Jesus knew the heart of Thomas. He knew he was good. He knew that he was a follower. He knew that he loved him. But he also knew that he had to see. He had to feel. He had to touch. Amen. So I can imagine the disciples. They're looking around. And you know what you do sometimes when you're nervous? You pace. You fidget. Some nervous people do this. And if you're ever sitting at the table with them, your tea glass starts to shake because they're just constantly doing. They're just that nervous energy. You know, take that chili. I can imagine the disciples a little bit nervous. Are they going to do to us what they did to Jesus? Jesus said, go into the outermost parts of Judea and Samaria and preach the gospel. Go. For I've anointed you, but how can we go if we're fearful for our life? What if they do us? What if they take us and they crucify us? And I would imagine they were patient. I would imagine they were just frustrated. And I imagine that Thomas was probably not the only one that was doubting, but all of a sudden as Peter and James and John and Judas wasn't there, but Thomas and is walking around and talking to one another and trying to encourage one another, they bumped into somebody and they looked and it was Jesus. Have you ever been so preoccupied with your problem that you're just walking all around Jesus? He's there all the time. He's trying to get your attention. Excuse me. Excuse me, I got a problem. And then you realize it's Jesus. It's Jesus trying to get your attention. Who opened the doors? We didn't even hear the creaking of the latchet. We didn't hear anything. Jesus didn't use the handle. It was locked. But Jesus appeared, amen, right in the midst of the disciples, right in the middle of their doubt, right in the middle of their fear, right in the middle of their loneliness, right in the middle of their giving up. Then came Jesus into the midst. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get a hold of that this morning. Somebody needs to understand that right in the middle of your darkest, terrible trial, when you're walking around and you're threatened and you're crying and all night long, understand that Jesus can appear in the very midst of your issue, of your problem, of the room full of doubt and fear. Hallelujah. And Jesus didn't say, what's wrong with you bunch of doubters? He didn't go in and say, man up. We were studying Friday morning, quit ye like men. So I think we misinterpret that. It don't mean quit. It means quit you like men. Men don't quit. We don't quit. Amen. Bible says we don't quit. Amen. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it is, we keep going. Amen. And wouldn't it have been something if Jesus showed up? You bunch of whiny babies. Where's your faith? How dare you doubt me? No. It's not Jesus' manner. He said, peace be unto you. And I got to believe there was an overwhelming sense of peace that just filled that room. Glory to God. Like it filled that hall. Like it filled that waiting room. I even think it got in the drink machine. Even because it turned into just an ordinary light to a very peaceful light. You don't think the Holy Ghost can get into a drink machine? I don't know if it can either, but it sure seemed a different light. Isn't it amazing? Same situation, same location, but this time Jesus appeared. Amen. And he calmed my nerves. You know what the Hebrew word for peace is? The end of strife. The end of strife. Let it decease. Let it be no more. You don't have to worry about the strife. You don't have to worry about the contention. You don't have to worry about the wiles of the devil. You don't have to worry about the loneliness. You don't have to worry about the sickness or the affliction. I, Jesus Christ, have made a way of peace for you. Peace be unto you. In other words, what I would say in Southern vernacular, it's all right now because I just showed up. Hallelujah. And when Jesus shows up, amen, it has a calming effect. Such a wonderful, wonderful effect. The end of strife. And then saith he to Thomas. I thought it was amazing that Thomas said, didn't say, Lord, let me touch and make sure. Jesus perceived and knew that there was still just a little bit of doubt. My Lord have mercy. And again, we give Thomas a hard time. We call him the doubter. But I want you to think, sometimes that old Thomas spirit gets on us. We're praying and praying and praying and praying for God to make a way. God to make a way. Some man comes around and makes a way. We say, my goodness, where'd that come from? Didn't come from man. I can tell you that right now. Jesus used that, amen, to unlock the situation that you've been praying about. Amen. You may not have seen it, but I believe with all my heart that Jesus made that move. I believe that Kevin is alive today, not because of medical technology, not because of not only what they did. Believe me, I believe they did it, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord gave them the power and the knowledge to do that. But I believe it was because Jesus said, I got it under control. I got it under control. I'm taking care of it. He wasn't supposed to live this long. Amen. But he did. Amen. By the grace of God. When Jesus shows up, amen, he changes everything about the situation. Thomas, come here. I want you to reach hither your finger and behold my hands. Now imagine Thomas went, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's my Lord and Savior. And then Jesus said, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And then what he followed that up is, and be not faithless. Be not faithless. Modern day Thomas, reach here and touch your blessing. Reach here and into my hands and understand that there is the answer to your problem. Reach here in my side and be not faithless. Know that I can do all things. Know that if you put your faith and trust in me, I can heal your situation. I can turn your finances around. Amen. I can bless you. I can cause strife to come to an end in your life. Every one of us in America today ought to be praying that the strife would come to an end. And the only way it's going to come to an end is if Jesus comes into the situation. Amen. If he comes into our life. Amen. But I thought today we find the doors closed. And it's not a physical door. It's not that that we're worried about. We recently had a situation here, and I wasn't going to say anything about that, but I think it kind of holds true, because sometimes our quickest response, our quickest antidote, is just to close the door and lock it. Close the door and lock it. We had, for lack of a better term, an intruder that came into the church running from the law. And he ran and actually went into the nursery back there and ducked under Kevin's bed, unbeknownst to us. There was a couple of men that were back there, and the police came in. They searched all downstairs and all the locked doors, and they found him. One of the brothers here in the church did found him hiding under the bed. And then some said, we're going to have to start locking the doors. And, you know, I first thought, well, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Then I said, you know what? We can't lock the doors. We can't lock the doors. Maybe for safety. We might take some other measures of security, and some of those things have already been put in place, but I can't see locking the church doors. Isn't it a shame in a time that we live in, this time where people are even fearful for their lives in church? But let me tell you something. I believe with all of my heart there is a greater power that is within the church than that's coming and trying to knock the doors down. Amen? And let me tell you, let's just say for a hypothetical situation that the doors are locked midway through service and some poor soul's trying to find Jesus. And we got the doors locked because we're afraid. Amen. I believe in security. I believe in watching. The Bible says watch and pray. Amen. But I believe so many times our quickest, and I'm saying that to bring this point. Sometimes our quickest response in a spiritual situation is just lock the doors. Close the doors. Don't let anybody in. Don't let anybody into my space. You know, that's kind of a said, you're not allowed. This is my space. You're not allowed to get in my space. I am so glad I didn't tell Jesus that. Because he got all in my space. In my face and in my space. Thank God that he did. Because my space was a mess. My life was in shambles. Can I tell you, you can sit in church and clap your hands and praise the Lord, and your life can still be in complete shambles? If you're hiding behind locked doors, you're not letting Jesus come in. You're not let anybody. I'm not sharing this with anybody, even the Lord. Let me tell you, you already shared it with him. He knows our thoughts. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he's knocking, and you're saying, wonder who that is. Not letting him in me. This is my innermost secret. I've referred to a song before. I don't even know where I heard it. But it was very, it was, I don't know, probably a year or two ago. And I can't even think of the title. I can't even think of the lyrics. But there was something in there. I was driving down the road, and this guy was singing, and he was talking about, the Lord coming into his house and the Lord having free run of all of his house except one room. Except one room. Because he had prepared just paraphrasing a little bit, but he had prepared the rest of the house in case the Lord wanted to come in and look around the house. But this one room was locked. Jesus wasn't allowed to go in that room. Why? Because that's where all the junk was. That's where all the strife was. That's where the anxiety was. That's where the fear and the doubt was. And he couldn't find true happiness. He couldn't find true peace until he finally opened the door and let Jesus come into that room. Then Jesus had complete control of the entire house. If you've got a room, if you've got a place in your heart that no one is allowed to go there, sometimes you don't even want to go there because of those things, because of that hurt, because of that pain, because of that anxiety, because of that doubt, that fear, whatever it may be. Can I say to you today, let Jesus in there. Let Jesus in there. He already sees the mess. He's already aware of our shortcomings. He knows everything there is about us. And we're all human. We want to be like the other disciples, but we're more like Thomas than probably we care to admit. Because there's times that doubt and fear arises in our life. But then we look around and there is the giver of peace. Peace be unto you. Let there be an end to the strife. Let there be an end to the turmoil. Let there be an end to those anxious moments that we have. Fear is a very gripping situation that can really keep us under bondage. It can keep us tied down. It can keep us from truly experiencing a walk in victory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me remind you, Jesus has never failed you. And he's not going to start failing you now. Give him access. Open up that heart's door. Open up that mind. Be receptive to the move of God. Because no one else can come through those closed doors. Honestly, a minister, a pastor may try to help you, but if you keep those doors closed, he can't help you. You can't go there. But Jesus can. Jesus can. Amen. Glory to God. To me, there was nothing ghostly or supernatural about it. He was just God and man, and he was just able to go right into that room. Amen. Never heard the squeaking door. And there's Jesus. Well, you don't think he can do that? I wished I had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. I'd give them the microphone and ask them had they ever had a similar experience. Oh yeah, brother, we were right in the midst of a fiery furnace, 7 times hotter than it's supposed to be. Even the boys that throwed us in, they got French fried. It was hot. They had us bound. We noticed when we went in, all of a sudden, the ropes were just burned that fast. We began to walk around. There was Shadrach. There was Meshach. There was Abednego. There was somebody else in there walking around with us. Amen. Even the king looked in there and said, whoa, I see four. Didn't we lose three? Put three in them. I see four. Amen. Loose, walking around. And it looks as the Son of God. Amen. The Lord can walk right into the midst of the most fiery trial that you've ever had in your life, completely burn the things that have you bound. You'll walk out on the other side with your hands raised in the air, glorifying, praising God, because Jesus came into the midst of your strife. Give him a hand clap of praise. Love him this morning. Have you ever been delivered by the Lord? Because he came through those closed doors. He walked into your closed situation. There's a buzzword that's been going around for years and years and years. And it simply is this. Don't be closed-minded. Amen. If I've heard that once, I've heard that 1,000 times. Because they're trying to motivate us. Where I work for. Get out of your box. I didn't know I was in a box. But they told me to get out of your box. Got so tired of hearing that. Get out of my box. Got to step outside the box. I'm looking around wondering where the box is. Don't be closed-minded. I thought it was my sinuses, but no, it was closed-minded. It just, I couldn't think. I needed a supervisor to tell me how to think. I need a president to come and tell me what to do. You've been in a box for 34 years. You need to get out of the box. Well, the boxes work pretty good. No. But can I tell you, Christians, do not close your mind to the possibilities of what God can do for you. How do you close your mind saying, oh, that'll never happen? That I'm never going to get victory. You're closing your mind. You're thinking about the human factor. There's things you can't do. There's things I can't do. But there's nothing my God can't do. He can do all things. Amen. Glory to God. So don't be closed-minded. And don't close your mind to the possibilities of what the Lord can do. I don't know. You may be facing a situation. You may not have a trouble or care or worry in your mind. But if you're here today and you do, don't keep that door shut. Open that door to all types of possibilities and let the Lord speak peace to you. Amen. The end of strife in your life. Oh, don't that sound good? No more strife, no more worry, no more contention, no more problems. Because I know the problem solver, and his name is Jesus. Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen. Every eye closed, but every heart door open.